For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. As many seasons come to a conclusion, for some, the most exciting week of the season is upon us. We speak with a manager a point behind, but a game in hand at the top of his table, looking to secure the title this week. Adam Murray has only been at AFC Fylde less than a season, but could just be about to secure legendary status. Running up the week's news, as many leagues come to a conclusion, the non-league paper's very own Matt Badcock as he heads into his very own big weekend. Plenty to come then. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start this week then with a manager who's in a battle for a title. And it's got three to play and it's in their hands, as I believe. Let's ask him more. Let's get his opinion and offer a warm non-league football show welcome to first team head coach at AFC Fylde, Mr. Adam Murray. Welcome back, Adam.
Hi, be okay?
I'm good. I mean, how are you? November you came in for a 2.5 year deal. The club were then outside the playoffs with games in hand, but it seems that you've just got on with the job and, the job in hand is almost complete.
Yeah, it's been a good few months, to be honest with you, from when I came in. It was, I was very lucky that I had a group of guys that were very open to my ideas, a group of guys that wanted to work hard and play the way that I believe is the right way to play. So, it's gone well. It's gone well. We've had a couple of hiccups here and there, but nothing massive. And so far, the journey's going well. And now we head into the last week of the season with everything to play for and like you say, all in our own hands.
Yeah, and when we spoke, when you first took on that job, Andy Taylor was the interim manager that you sort of effectively took over the reins from. He stayed on as assistant team coach, and that seemed to be a blossoming relationship with you two.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. He really has. I mean, for me, I think I said to you when I spoke to you before, it was a really big decision for me to come here, and it was something that I wanted to do to get my ideas out there and my philosophy out there, how I see the game. And I did a lot of homework on the club before I came in terms of its staff, the players, people that I thought could adapt to what I wanted to do. And Andy was right up there in terms of someone that I thought was on the same wavelength of me. And since I've worked with him, it's proven to be the case. Unbelievable human being, really, really good coach, and we share a lot of the same principles, which has obviously helped, and it's been a real force moving forward.
And that's got to be a good thing to take, release some pressure from you as well, because you spend so much time with these people that if there was conflict as well, or maybe you didn't quite see the path the same way, then I'm sure you couldn't have been as productive and as successful as you have been so far.
No, it wouldn't work. I think the bottom line is it wouldn't work. And one of my big things the last 10, 12 years that I have learned is if you've not got people around you that are on the same page, that you can trust that they share the same principled work ethic as you, then it's not going to work, and you have to get rid of them as quick as you can. I've been really, really lucky in that aspect that I've come into a group of staff that are all very young. It's a very, very young staff, but a very well-educated staff and an unbelievable group of people. So we've kind of gelled very quickly. We've become very close over a short amount of time. And I think that's one of our biggest strengths, to be honest with you, is not just as a staff, but as a group of people with the playing staff and even the office staff. We've really come together, and that's been shown in the results on the pitch.
I was discussing with somebody earlier, actually, about that the people that I get to speak to week in, week out, year after year, the ones that are successful, it's the team around them. Everybody gets on. There's just a magic in the air. Was that already there when you came to Fylde?
No, and I wouldn't say it was the opposite, because the people aren't they don't just become good people overnight. I think it was more the environment that needed just fluffing up a little bit. I think it's obviously a club for the level that has a lot of pressure on it, a lot of expectation, and unless that's guided in the right way, I think can become a negative. So it was just about channeling the energy that was already in the place and putting it into the right path. We've managed to do that. We share a lot of, like I say, a lot of time together, whether it's due to football with the schedule, or it's in work, or it is social time. We do spend a lot of time with each other, and we enjoy it. And when you do get out on the pitch, you know that you're fine for each other. So it's, I don't think it works anyway, if I'm being honest with you. I think if you've got one chink in your eye that you're not on the same page, or you don't trust, eventually it will break down. And that's one of my big lessons over the years as a coach.
I was going to ask you about your big lessons, because obviously your last job was at the Turkish Super League champions at Besiktas. Is there anything you learned while you were there that you've been able to bring into non-league this time around to help you get to where you are now?
I think clarity. I think the biggest thing for me over the years, however many years ago it was at Mansfield as a manager to where I am now within the journey I've been on, it's having an environment that wants to go in the same direction. And like I've just said, if there's people within that don't want to come your way, you have to get them out. It's that simple for me. And two is having clarity in everything you do, whether it's your playing style, your behaviours, your discipline. I think as long as everybody's clear with everything and the players go out on the pitch and they understand what the job is, individuals understand the roles, the staff understand what's expected. And if you've got everybody on that same page, then it leaves really little space for grey areas and error. And when you do get errors, then you understand that they're honest errors. And I've said from day one that from a playing point of view, we'll play with a lot of risk. We're very open in our way of playing, and I don't mind mistakes. I'll never have a go at anyone for mistakes, as long as they're sticking to our way of playing. And guys have done that. We've conceded some goals where people from the outside will look on and go, what they do in their life. But that's our way of playing, and we accept that sometimes it does go wrong. But yeah, I think they're the two main things for me. Is you need a group of people that think the same and want the same, and you have to have that complete clarity in your messages.
And I think that clarity comes across whenever I hear you speak, whenever I get to speak to you, you just sound so calm and so in charge of a situation. Are there times this season where you maybe lost your rag?
I'd probably say once, I think, we're in the dressing room, only once. And look, I'm not going to lie to you, Tim, this is not Adam Murray from 10, 12 years ago. This is definitely...
Grown up Adam Murray, is it?
I think it's, yeah, it's a lot of experiences. It's, I think, understanding myself a little bit more. It's understanding footballers and players. And I just think that, especially the modern-day footballer, it doesn't react to... head losses. It doesn't react to being told what to do. It's more of a joint process, and that goes from that. I've learned that from obviously dealing with non-league players now, but it's the same when you're dealing with top footballers. Are exactly the same. It's the footballers these days, they want to be a part of the journey, and I think if you show a lack of control, or you're not there in your own mindset, then you can't expect other people to be.
Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, it's not that long ago that you were applying your trade as a player in the upper echelons of the professional game, but football's forever changing. Do you think it's tougher now being a manager than ever before, because you've got all these additional data here, but it just seems it could quite easily be an information overload on both you as a manager and as players?
100%. I mean, I'm huge on stats and on data, and I was really fortunate that I had a good few years working at Barnsley where we were very data driven. So that's played a big part in kind of my thought process on everything, if I'm being honest. But you have to be very, very wary that you use it in the right context, because it can be dangerous, and you can come out with the wrong ideas or the wrong answers if you're not looking for the right thing. I think the biggest thing about it is because it's accessible to a lot of people now. Everybody, there's no hiding place. Everybody's got more of an educated opinion rather than the old school is not very good or is very good. It's an educated opinion now, so you have to understand where people are coming from, and there's no hiding place. I think it's, especially for the players, it's very dangerous because obviously they're the guys out there on the grass that they take all the pressure on. And if people are throwing obviously stats, data, opinions around psychologically, it can affect you. So it's, I think for a footballer, it's a time where you have to learn to be mentally strong, but at the same time you have to have support mechanisms around you that when you are going through a tough time, you're happy to open up and share that, because the game has become more than just kicking a ball around.
Indeed. We always say about the National North is probably the most competitive division to get out of. You seem to be making a good fist of it. What are you, you're on 86 points, Kingsland Town on 87 points, but you've got that game in hand. They've got two to play, you've got three to play. No easy games, but this weekend you face relegation battlers Leamington. Kings Lynn have playoff chasing Darlington. Then you have Curzon Ashton miss midweek in that game in hand, but they're chasing playoffs themselves, and they potentially hold all the keys because they then play Kings Lynn on the final day of the season.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I think it's the biggest pleasant surprise I've had at coming at the National League North is the standard. The standard in everything, not just the standard of the players, but the analysis, the fitness level of players gone up, the professionalism. It's not like non-league football used to be. It's on a very high level now, and I think it improved that there. I've said it all along this season, them and Blythe, apart from ourselves, are my favourite two football teams to watch. So it's funny that these guys have got a big part to play in the title chase. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting week. We know that we're coming up against a tough challenge on Saturday, Leamington fighting for the lives. So that we've seen already with teams that we've faced that bring its own problems. But it's the first time in a long, long time we've actually had a week on the training ground. So that's been a blessing in disguise, and I feel like we're in a really good place at the minute.
And how do you go into that squad-wise? Have you got a full squad available at your disposal?
Yeah, we're good. It's give us a little bit of time to refresh a few people. We're back from injury. So we're ready to go. We had a good meeting where we all agreed that our only way of playing what we've done since I've been in is we've attacked. So we fully intend to attack the next three games as much as we can.
Yeah, and if it were, I take it in your own hands, you've got those three games, you win two, you should be there. But if it were to go to the playoffs, you have the mental strength, the physical strength to go on and get promoted the hard way?
Yeah, we're more than ready for any situation. It's something over time, maybe subconsciously to the players and the staff that as a coach you have to have in your mind that it could go into all directions. So I've been preparing this situation for a good few months. So whether we get to do it this week or we have to carry on, we're ready for all the outcomes. And I'm sure that if we do what we do and we don't come away from our game plan, we'll be okay.
And all those outcomes, whatever the outcome, does Adam Murray have a summer holiday?
Adam Murray needs a summer holiday. It's been a long season, I won't lie to you. Obviously, coming back from Turkey and then coming straight into this, and then even last season was a hectic season as well. There's not been much breathing space, so hopefully things go to plan, and then it is quite an extended break this year. It's, I think it's 8 weeks if we manage to get it done this week. But if not, we'll do it the fun way. But there'll definitely be a holiday in there.
Adam Murray, always a pleasure to speak to you. Could speak forever. But you've got 3 games to organise and go and get ready for. Thank you for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Tim Topman.
Time then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. And a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's Editor-at-Large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Magpot. Welcome back, Matt. Nice sunny afternoon while we're talking.
Beautiful afternoon. How are you, Tim?
Well, I find the sunny afternoon makes people smile, and I'm never sure when people are smiling whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, because you can never define why they're smiling. Have you got your flies undone? Did you forget to wipe that mess from around your mouth? And I love smiling. But it can be a dangerous thing. And it's a bit like being a non-league football reporter, really, because we get to this part of the season, and I'm triple-checking all my sources, and I know I'm going to get something wrong, because the end of the season is in sight, and I can even smell the end of the season. There's cup finals, there's playoff scrambles, there's plenty of twists and turns to come, surely. And then you look at all the tables, and I try and work out what the maximum points are that clubs can get and all that sort of thing. So I think I've got some of these right. I was going to start with the National League North, because that one just looks super exciting. We've been speaking about the National League all season, and we'll come to them a bit later as well. But the Kings Lynn, under pressure from AFC Fylde for that top spot, the latter now just a point behind and with a game in hand. And at the bottom of the National North, we've got Telford United already relegated. But I think for those four spaces, anyone from Boston United in 17th that can be caught. It just shows that National League North is such a competitive division. It is going to go down to the wire, both at the top and the bottom.
Yeah, it feels like everything. There's something on pretty much every game this weekend, which makes it hard when you're trying to choose a picture game, because you can sort of have a case for quite a few. And you say that sort of at the top, it sort of felt like Fylde are maybe going to go away with it with their games in hand, and they've sort of dropped some points here and there, and Kings Lynn have done well since obviously they had the sort of the upheaval of Tommy Woodrington's sort of sudden departure the other week, but they've been all right since then. They sort of kept on Mark Hughes and Hugo Langton, and they've kind of kept on the good work that they were already doing there at the club anyway, and how the team were performing. So that's interesting. The playoff race is interesting. There's a whole host of teams who can get in there and games in hand to be played. And it's just quite hard to keep up with everything at the moment. But it's, that is you speak to people around the game, they talk about the National League North and what sort of a tough division it is and how hard. And I know lots of sort of people say that, and you'll hear that, but I sort of feel genuine when you're talking to people about it who've been in it and lived it, because some of the, see some of the size of the clubs and kind of where they have been and how they're sort of faring this season. You've got sort of clubs, bigger clubs, you sort of expected to be up there, are struggling and fighting for it still, and then you've got other clubs who maybe expected to be at the other end are pushing for those playoff spots. And as we've said before, the playoffs opening out to six places just keeps it alive, more seasons alive generally anyway, but even more so in this case where there's a whole bunch of who could still get in.
Yeah, it is. It's like a soap opera every year, I think, the National, because there are some of those big clubs that are there. There's a number of full-time clubs, and you mentioned as well with Kings Lynn that the impact of having a manager like Tommy Widrington leaving so close to the end of the season as well. You have to remember that everybody involved in the club, the players in particular, they're human beings as well, and those sort of things have an impact on you as well, don't they?
Yeah, no, I think the players would have been, I think everyone knows quite a shot, but, Tommy had his, he's had his reasons, and obviously, he's at Aldershot, and he's, justified that by some of the results they've got, that sort of, pushing them towards safety. But also, you know, I think it kind of shows that players win matches as well, don't they? And if they can keep doing what they're doing, then they can, you know, it's kind of a funny thing with management, isn't it? They sort of get all the blame when things aren't going well, and then often have to pass off the credit to the players when things are going well anyway. But it does show that, you know, players obviously are the ones out there trying to stick the ball in the net and keep it out at the other end.
Yeah. One club that have been able to stick the ball in the back of the net and also keep it out were the National South champions, Ebbsfleet United, crowned with 100 points on the rack and two games still to play. And again, that's a similar one as well. I think ninth place Haven could still feasibly make the playoffs. And at the bottom, you've got Concord Rangers, Weymouth, Hungerford Town, Chessington. They're all technically, I think they can all stay up and achieve safety, but they sit in a relegation zone. They're looking a little bit detached. But again, it's probably going to go down to that final weekend.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we all want, that sort of excitement. You love that sort of, everyone love that sort of final day kind of jeopardy at both ends of the table, and you know, where goals are going in all over the place and how it changes, and you know, sort of that classic kind of thing reminds you when you sort of watching on TV and you've got the tables that come up, and you know how teams are moving in and out of playoff positions and relegation zones, and it's kind of a bit like that. And you know, it's, I always sort of remember, you go back a few years and you didn't have all kind of Twitter and social media and the sort of the up-to-date websites that you have now, and you know how like rumours would go around grounds and people have radios and you sort of hear like a goal had gone in somewhere and it wasn't quite right. And so it's yeah, it's good fun. You know, you want to see everything go down to the final day to keep that kind of excitement. And those playoffs, a lot of those places are sort of like wrapped up. There's still things on them, and as you say, Ebbsfleet can have their feet up and enjoy it and watch it all play out, because they've done their job. You know, I spoke to Dennis Kutryev last week, and you sort of go back to they had a couple of heavy defeats over the festive period to Dartford back to back, and you know, big derby games when they came up short in, and Dowson's men took the bragging rights. But after that, he sort of had a meeting. He said 15 more wins for the title, and you know, we'll be fine. You know, it wasn't a crisis talks, and when they beat Oxford City the other week, that was their 15th win. So, showed also managers know what they're talking about sometimes.
I think there is something in it. They tend to all have these coaching badges of some sort. For step three and four, the season proper ends this weekend, I guess, going into the playoffs then after that. But there's still so many bits unresolved as well. I mean, the ESPN Premier, we did see Bishop Stortford crown champions this week without playing a game, which was interesting. I don't know if anybody saw on Twitter, but it's going to take a long while to get those beer stains out of that carpet in that bar room.
That the ceiling. That ceiling has taken a lot of beer on there, didn't it, on those celebrations. I spoke to Steve Smith earlier, actually, down there, and he they'd obviously been training, and they didn't, you know, if Canvey had won, it would have gone down to the final day, so they're trying to keep everything as normal as possible. And they're sort of all in there seeing that Avely were 2-0 up. I think in the 90th minute they were still 2-0 up Avely. So then suddenly one goes in. I know I sort of keep an eye on my phone. I sort of saw that Canvey got one back, but it was so late you kind of assumed it had kind of been, it was done anyway. And then suddenly another Canvey goal goes in, and you think, what's happening? You sort of, that's one of the disadvantages when you're following these things on Twitter and on websites and things. You got no context around what on earth's going on, so, and how long it's going to be played and all that sort of stuff. So it was, you know, the scenes there at the end, great celebrations in their clubhouse. I'm sure they would have preferred to do it on the pitch, but it probably doesn't really matter at all. From that point of view, they've achieved their goal. You know, last year they had a great run. I think they got 88 points or something like that last season, and they were you know, Worthing won that division handsomely, and Stortford went into the playoffs, and as a playoff show, anything can happen. Lost to Chesham in the semi-final, and obviously went on to get promoted, and that was that season done. So they'd come back this year, come back strong, and got over the line.
Mm, yeah, and it's an interesting division, as you say. The playoffs are still open for who's going to finally end up where. But we've also got the four, as well as the champions, known going into this weekend. But we also got the four relegation spots confirmed for Bowers and Pitsea, Herne Bay, Corinthian Casuals, Brighton Sea Regent. Yeah, the tough thing I think is the pyramid's great, and it's great to have all this pyramid lining up properly now. But it's very harsh before going down out of all of these divisions to reconstruct that balance.
Yeah, it's going to be like it's a change, and it's going to be lots more change. Every sort of season now, and it does keep things interesting. Obviously, it keeps that flow coming up from below, which we know the FA sort of plays great importance on that sort of flow of the teams, flow of the pyramids. So yeah, it kind of does put a lot at stake now, and you have to, you can kind of quite easily get sucked into it down at the bottom. But it'd be interesting to kind of see how it plays out over the sort of coming years. I suppose people in step one, at step two, and north and south, and we've obviously more teams going down in those divisions this year. It sort of changed kind of the dynamics of quite a lot. And, that can be good for clubs in the game as well.
Mm. Yeah, I think we're lucky we get to speak to managers, but both having great seasons and bad seasons as well. Sometimes not always on the record for them, but I think most there's normally a reason that a club's gone down, and sometimes it's better for the club to sort of go down, reassess themselves, and come back stronger, and that's where there is a strength in the pyramid.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I spoke to Kevin Hake at Chatham as well today. They just had their second back-to-back promotions. Just won the Isthmian Division 1 South East title last weekend, having come up from step five last year. I think they came up as a runner-up, actually, behind Sheppey. But, they were a club that had been up before and went down, and see new sort of ownership came in, Kevin sort of came in and took it on, and now you see their crowds and kind of all the stuff they're doing, the community and all that kind of thing. They've been able to really push on. And you say no one ever likes to be relegated. No seasons can be obviously pretty miserable, but there is something to be said sometimes for going down and sort of starting again and winning games of football, which makes everyone feel a lot better and gets people back through the gates as well. So. But obviously, when that's happening at the time, you don't want it. And obviously, there are clubs as well who go down and don't come back. So, you're thinking of when you think of Scunthorpe's relegation, that's step two. We've just been talking about that National League North Division, what unforgiving league is. That's not going to be easy for them to get back out. But it might be, when a club's kind of had that fall that they've had. Is it a chance for them now to really, with their sort of new ownership as well, and Jimmy Dean obviously been in there? Is it best now to get that clean break and then kind of get things moving back in the right direction? And we've all seen how quickly you can come back if it goes right. And another example: Leighton Orient, obviously came down into non-league a few years ago, had all sorts of problems, had their takeover. Just after they come into non-league, which saved them, and it took them a couple of years to get back out. And the other night they've celebrated promotion into League One. Kind of where a lot of their fans would have felt that they sort of should be anyway. So, it does show that there's sort of examples all the way through football. From top to bottom. Again, another one, Luton, when they came down, it took them 4 years to get, I think it's four seasons it took them to get that one year. They didn't even get the playoffs, and all this, obviously their issues from points deductions why they came down, but now knocking on the door of the Premier League is unbelievable.
I guess that was the attraction, wasn't it, for the Wrexham owners, that you could do that have that tale and have that story, and Luton may nearly be there. Of course, they do talk about from adversity, it makes you stronger, comes success. In the Northern Premier, champion South Shields, again, had disappointment of last year in the playoffs, but they've done it this year, and they go on with the next phase of their plan. You've got Stalybridge Celtic, Liversidge, Belper Town, though now all relegated. And again, showing how tight it all is, we're talking on, Thursday evening, Nantwich are playing. They're hoping for two wins to keep them from the drop and that fourth relegation spot in the Northern Premier League. It'll be difficult to even record this, I guess, on Saturday evening at 4:45, because there'd still be other twists and turns to come.
Well, this is it. And like you say, all these games that have been pushed out through the week have kind of made it quite interesting with the all the sort of permutations that it might bring for Saturday. And of course, the one with Nantwich tonight is that they're playing Mask. Nantwich are in that fourth, but Mask are 4 points behind them. So this is Nantwich have to win to avoid relegation, and Mars know that if they can get a point and or win, then they will be safe, and that much will be down. So huge game tonight. Will determine the outcome of the season, whether it goes to the final day. So Mars will be, I'm sure, happy to be at home, and I think they got a good win the other night against Stalybridge. So they relegated Stalybridge the other night. So they'll be looking to put their safety tonight if they possibly can, but should be a humdinger, that one.
It should be another Thursday night, the twist and turn. The Southern Premier Central could change the title. Tamworth replaying their previously abandoned game against Nuneaton and can go level top, I think, with Colville Town, taking them into Saturday's final games. I mean, that's the perfect script being written there, isn't it? Not the perfect script for those four that already confirmed as relegated in that division, from Kings Langley, Bedford Town, Hensford Town and AFC Rushen and Diamonds. And again, some names there that have had some great success in recent seasons. And, it can be success in football can be a fickle mistress.
It can be very fickle. I think if everyone knew how you, if you guarantee it, then it'd be pretty boring as well, wouldn't it? Yes. The game, as you say, Colville, Tamworth, it's going to the final day, whatever happens. We'll see what happens with Tamworth tonight. I think the other interesting thing about that is how close the goal difference is, how close the goal scored is. It's literally going down to, and also the goals against, I think, I've got it in front of me now, but I think that's kind of like one different as well. So it might have been like a random goal that was conceded in September on a Tuesday night that you don't sort of kind of think about, and it might come back to bite. So, but yeah, if Tamworth against Nuneaton tonight, that game's also been played behind closed doors because there's the crowd issues from before. So that sort of brings a slightly different dynamic to it as well. But Tamworth know that they need to, they don't need to win, but they'll be desperately trying to win because that will change how Saturday looks as well. But going right down to the final kick in that division.
Yeah, I suppose all to cover the other division in step three as well. But yeah, my own club, Hazen Yedding, playing on a Thursday evening as well, and that one, but out of the title tussles. Western Supermare confirmed this week as champions, fairly justified, I think, from having seen them this season. And Harrowborough, Yaketown, Hartley Whitney already relegated. And again, North Lee are again one of those clubs playing this evening, Thursday evening, hoping to notch up, I think, two wins to perform the Great Escape. Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, and that's why we love watching football, because of the things that sort of, just when you think you know what's how it's all going to play out, it all changes, and there's twists and turns all over the place. That's that Wrexham Notts County game the other week. Wrexham, they're on for it. Penalty in the last, stoppage time. Think, oh god, they're going to get a draw. Penalty save. All these different things that kind of happen. Replicated across all the levels each week. And North Lee, if they can get that win tonight, that will give them the hope for Saturday that they need. But it's, say, Western Supermare kind of it was like it's been coming for a little while. They were going to be crowned champions, taking a little bit longer than it sort of initially felt a couple of weeks ago, but they're over the line and back to step two, which they'll be very pleased about.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned the National League. Wrexham, I think, now with record points for the division, but still one win away from the title. Could it still come down to that final weekend? Yeah, the playoff-wise, it's now really in the hands of those six clubs in the relevant spots. Can they finish higher? Can they secure a better route to the final? And can they make sure that they keep those existing spots? I think there's still one or two hoping against hope, probably, more than anything, to sneak in. But again, there's always a last-minute twist. But it does look that maybe the title might be wrapped up this weekend.
Well, you know, you talk to people and you kind of say, well, Wrexham will win that at home. It's all set up for them to win the title in front of 10,000, whatever it would be. It's kind of written for them. And maybe it is. But I also remember very vividly going to Luton Town, talking about Luton, when they had a home game against Braintree and it was all set up for them to win the league. TV cameras were there and everyone was ready to go. And I think Braintree were 2-0 up inside about 15 minutes or something like that. And suddenly you think, ooh. and they didn't win it that day, and they had to, and it rolled over. Wrexham, they've been such a machine this year. You see how far ahead their Man Notts County have been of everybody. Record points, two games to go, and it's the later kickoff, so depending, if Notts lose at Maystone, then it could be done with Bratton kicking a ball, but. And you'd expect them to come out strong. That Bournemouth won't be there to just sort of take part in the party. I'm sure they'll be there sort of determined to get their own. They've got their own cause to try and make sure they cement themselves in the playoffs as well. And it'll be an interesting game.
And
probably be 3-0 to Wrexham after 5 minutes after I've said this now.
But there's still maybe that Hollywood script. Is there another twist? Because three of those four relegation spots are now confirmed. We Yeovil Town joining Scunthorpe United, Maidstone United going down a step two for next season. But Torquay's defeat to Chesterfield midweek, it sort of hit their dreams hard after their recent run of form. But they've got a trip to Altrincham this week. 3 points, a big goal difference between them and safety as well. It doesn't look likely, particularly when their final day game is hosting Wrexham, who, if they don't wrap the title up this week, will need a victory. I mean, is there another twist? I mean, even the Hollywood scriptwriters wouldn't have been planning this one, surely.
Even it's one of those cliches, isn't it? You say, well, even the scriptwriters have said that's too ridiculous, some of the things that have been happening this year. But, that's the, the nature of sport. Just, it is unscripted, and, the drama that it brings is kind of sort of beyond what people would write in if you did put it in films or books. But, Torquay, I guess they'll be hoping that Wrexham, obviously they need to get their own business done on Saturday, but they'll probably be quite keen for Wrexham to have that one on Saturday, so that they come down to the English Riviera the following week on a party bus just to sort of roll out the final 90 minutes of the season and maybe Torquay can sort of sneak out. It's been interesting, Torquay been on a great run. The other team, all of a sudden they got results when they needed to, playing Scunthorpe, and they were sort of, it's falling Torquay's way, and then they get a late goal, and you look at Gateshead, what brilliant run they've been on, and Dorking have sort of put together some results, and kind of right when they've all been needing it down there, that is when they've all kind of been getting the win, which kept it fascinating. Sort of when Torquay probably thinking, we won five in a row, we must have got ourselves out of it, but haven't quite managed to, so. But yeah, they, huge games all over the place this weekend.
Huge games as well for certain managers as well. The managerial merry-go-round beginning to look a little bit sorry for itself at this stage of the season. There's a few sort of hands going up in the air, I guess, and even some nominations for departures from clubs asking managers to step down. So it's been announced, I think, this week that Rob Kemba's going to leave Chipstead at the end of the season, so at this weekend. Steve McKim is one of those been asked to step down, I believe, at the end of the season at Carl Shorten Athletic. And Steve Wilkes has resigned at Northwich. Victoria is going to take their final of the game of the season this weekend too, which is a little bit of a surprise at the success that they've had there. And that's on the top of a number of previously announced departures and existing vacancies. This is one that I haven't got a chart on, because I expect there to be a few more announcements come the season's final halt, you know, whether clubs are in playoffs or not. And then I probably need to create a matrix of who's available, what spaces are available, who's in a certain radius of these jobs. And then we'll have to start to learn who's in what job again.
Well, I was just thinking of a couple of weeks ago, after one of our chats where we sort of went through the manager merry-go-round, we used to do we sort of did a spread a few years ago in the paper at the start of the season of all the managers of all the clubs. I think maybe we'll bring that back ahead of next season, and at the end of the year we can see how many have changed. It'd be interesting to kind of document that all the way through. The risk is there's so many sometimes you could easily miss them. So, but it's been there'll be lots of changes, no doubt in the summer. It kind of seems incredible that we're at the back end of the season now. Not, step three and four finishing up, a lot of step five, some obviously going on into next week. But, we're completely sort of right at the end now. And soon the allocations will suddenly be back out, and then we'll be sort of talking about how they're going to win the league again next season. All that positivity will come flooding back, new managers, and how they're going to change this and that. And how it's all going to be different this time. So it's, the cycle of, Circle of life.
Yeah. And on a, I don't want to bring it all down again, but on a negative note, I guess we spoke about the fan trouble at the Welsh Premier League game, Flint and Caernarfon Town last week. That game was the one that was abandoned due to crowd violence. And it seems we've had even lower down the pyramid this week. I understand the Midland Premier League Cup between Atherton Town and Hinckley had to be abandoned during a penalty shootout after a pitch invader attacked a player. And that's all in that week where, as you mentioned, Tamworth and Nuneaton Borough in the Southern League Premier Central, they're replaying that game behind closed doors, having originally been abandoned due to crowd trouble. We've got FA Vars holders and this year's finalists again, Newport Pagnell Town, also having to play a game behind closed doors due to crowd issues in the past. It's not good for non-league, but I also don't think, we've said this before, I don't think non-league can necessarily deal with it alone. I know that there are tighter regulations still looking to set to come in over the summer regarding the use of qualified stewards across the pyramid. And I'm not sure that most in football or non-league know about them anyway. But two, the cost of implementing the same is going to be prohibitive. It's going to be just far too expensive for clubs to even consider. We almost need a hand held by those professional clubs that seem to have eradicated these issues to make sure that we can push it away from non-league as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I think there's work. I think the authorities have sort of spoken to people at FA are quite aware of that. And there's this, getting professional clubs to help out is, and lend their expertise is going to be key as well. Unfortunately, it's not a non-league problem. We just seem to have a lot of idiots around in society generally at the moment. And, I just don't, you sort of like lost for words, really, what these people sort of go through their minds to sort of act the way they do. It's just sort of very odd. They've obviously got nothing going on in their lives. So I think it's just pretty sad, really. Pathetic to sort of not be able to control your emotions or whatever it is, or whatever excuse that you have to come on and do whatever you do or get in. It's just like, just sort of embarrassing, really. It's just been pretty neat to look at themselves.
Yeah, indeed. And the people around them need to take responsibility as well. Because if you know someone's been to a game and then you find out that game's abandoned, find out why. Why? Sometimes I think if you question these people, as you say, you wonder what goes through their mind. Sometimes not a lot, but if you question them, then maybe something else might go through their mind, and we might be able to stop and eradicate it. But it does need to be everybody, I think, sort of, just telling people that it's not going to be allowed. Anyway, that's a slight negative, but plenty of positives to go. We should, of course, remind people once again about the National Game Awards coming up and how they can all get involved in the various categories. Have you had much input from the public at large already?
Yeah, I think the inbox is filling up. I don't think we've started counting anything yet, but the inbox is filling up. There's still plenty of time to people to have their say, get their nominations, get their votes in for all the various categories. They're in the paper and online every week. They're in the paper every week. Sort of pick out a couple of awards each week to sort of highlight what's maybe some suggestions. But we're open to everybody. You know, you see this as the people's awards that they can really give the players, the managers, the clubs, the volunteers, the sort of recognition that they feel they deserve. So plenty of time to sort of still get those in. Your invite is in the post, Tim. Don't worry. It'll be there with you soon. It'll be there with you soon.
I'm still wearing my press white shirts for matches at the moment. So
yeah, that suit and the dry cleaning.
talking about suits and cleaning, we should remind people as well that you're off on a little run on Sunday to raise funds for a very good cause.
A small jog around London. I went to pick up my London Marathon number yesterday. Unfortunately, they had my name down, so I'm sort of in it now. I can't sort of went out there with a slight hope that they didn't have anything on the system, but now apparently I'm in. So I'm running the London Marathon on Sunday for the Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance. Everyone listened a couple of weeks ago, so they saved my dad's life in 2016. We had a cardiac arrest while driving on the M25, so I'm a pretty... to say it's close to our heart is an understatement. So that's what I'll be thinking of on Sunday when it gets awfully grim in those final few miles. That's what I'll be thinking about. And I know sort of when I spoke last time on here, someone donated off the back of it, so I really appreciated that. I've had an amazing donation. I'm approaching my target of £2,200 because that's how much each mission costs to fund. So, and it's all done by donations and we don't get it kind of centrally funded. So, that'll be me. That'll be me on Sunday. I'm sure it's on, I don't know what time it starts on BBC, but you'll see me up near the front anyway at the beginning. So I'll be tearing away at the front and seeing if I can win it. You know, I might shock the world.
Well, we might have to read our non-league paper beforehand then, just so we don't miss the moment of magic.
I think I've got a starting time. I think it's like 10:45 or something like that. I think the people who start, the elite runners who start at 10, they start about 10 o'clock. They'll be sort of about halfway by the time I get going.
Well, it is all for a very good cause, of course, as is all your hard work every week for the non-league paper. You've mentioned a few bits there. Anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's issue?
Well, lots of champions reaction, as you expect. Obviously, hashtag winning, and so I spoke to Stortford and Chatham, and lots of that going on. We've got a sort of kind of a bit of an explainer piece about how some of the sort of the how the playoffs and how the interstep players are going to work, how they come up with the games, and kind of like looking at kind of some of the on effects of the season extensions and kind of how that had a sort of bit of informative kind of look at it gives people an overview of kind of some of the processes and the ins and outs of that. So that's in there as well. And then all the action from the big games at the weekend and where the titles and the relegations are going to be happening. That's the kind of exciting. But the news is the football at the moment, so we can't wait for another busy weekend.
Another busy weekend, particularly a busy one for you, Matt. Thank you for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show. Good luck at the weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll be able to join you next week if I've finished.
That's it then for this week. If you're far between in title battle this week, if they're chasing playoff spots or staving off relegation, good luck and make football be the winner wherever that is. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you all for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the week and throughout the season at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. So stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.